Then Illinois Congressman Denny Hastert was on his way to becoming the Speaker of the U.S. House during the last government shutdown. He was Chief Deputy Minority Whip back in 1995, when a three-week shutdown carried into early 96. I'm Amanda Vinicky, and I asked Hastert, a Republican, to reflect on what happened then.
Nobody really paid much attention to it because it's Christmas holiday, and a lot of businesses were shut down, and government was shut down anyway. But what our issue was trying to get a handle on the deficit, on the budget. And so we actually came out, we were at a kind of a standstill, but we came out with a budget agreement. And because of that budget agreement, the first 3 years that I was Speaker, we were able to pay down $650 billion of public debt. But, you know, there was a good result out of that. It was something that was necessary, and that's what we did. This situation is a little bit different. What's happened here is that, you know, if you push everything to the end, you're going to end up with a log jam. And we really, seriously, last time we had something to argue over, and it was something that we won during the last 2 years of the Clinton administration. But on this situation, what's happened, for almost the last 8 years, the Senate has never even passed a budget. And they have, and this year they passed the budget, but they didn't reconcile the budget. Otherwise, they didn't come to agreement with the House on it. And what happens when you don't have that type of agreement is that there's no timeline. Otherwise, the law says that you're supposed to have a budget out of the House for the 15th of March. It's supposed to be reconciled with the Senate by the 15th of April. And then you have the whole months of May and June and July to actually get your appropriation process done. And then, you know, you might have to clean up a little bit in September. I mean, they come up against the 1st of October and everything's done. But what's happened, the Senate has either, because they're incapable of it or they have decided this is the best way to do it, haven't passed a budget. So if you don't pass a budget, then you come up against these deadlines and they figure that they can leverage themselves into more spending or to get whatever they want. And that's been the case ever since Harry Reid's been the leader over there, and the Obama administration has been in the presidency. So what happens when you get pushed up to the edge, nothing happens. And unless the other party caves in, which they decide they're not going to cave in, and at this time they're using the health care issue as a wedge, there's a real debate going on the whole budget process. If you remember, the whole fiscal cliff thing didn't happen. It happened in January, but it happened because it was negotiated last November again. Or, excuse me, it was November when the Senate didn't have a budget bill. So, you know, if you get into these type of pressure cooker situations, it's artificial because people have made it happen. If you go regular process, you would never have had it happen. In the 8 years I was Speaker, we always went regular process.
So it's a lot of issues leading up to this point that brought Congress here. Nonetheless, we are here. Is it fair to use the Affordable Care Act as a wedge issue?
Well, yeah, it's an issue, and it's an issue that people think this is going to spend us into oblivion, so it is a budget issue, and it's something that should be addressed. There are a lot of people think there's a real problem with it. It's not ready to go. And the Republicans are, I'm not in, you know, I'm just watching like everybody else is, but the Republicans are asking to set it back a year. They've given everybody else a year to do it, businesses and small businesses and other different kind of groups. And what they're saying is, why can't the average individual citizen have an extra year to make their mind up?
As you said, you were proud or at least happy with the outcome after the last government shutdown. Do you foresee that being the case? Or I know there's been a lot of talk about how this is a different time, given that so many states are still struggling financially and so many households are struggling after the recession, that this is different. Do you think that there is a opportunity for a positive outcome, or is this not the appropriate time for a government shutdown?
Well, I would hope that there's first of all, this will get settled. When and how, I couldn't predict, but it'll get settled. It's not going to go on and on and on and on. One of the things that you don't want to have happen is have this mixed in with the debt ceiling, which is another artificial wall that you come up against. But, you know, there's two problems at once, and then you have to solve. But this issue is spending and spending in general. You know, the federal government owes $17 trillion in lending. And if now with interest rates very low, that's fine. But if interest rates in the world go up, and instead of paying 1.5% or 2%, we're paying 10% or 15% like we did 20 years ago, all of a sudden that debt compounds. And what you do is end up mortgaging the future of our children and our grandchildren.
There has been a rise since you were a member of Congress of the Tea Party faction, kind of the, you were known as a conservative, but it's a different sort of element, or at least a changed Republican Party. Do you see that, and do you like the direction of the GOP?
Well, look, I think you have found both parties become more pushed to the left and to the right. And the reason is, I blame on the McCain-Feingold bill that was passed in 2001. It was the only bill that came to for the House that I opposed, but it came on a discharge order, and I couldn't do anything about it. But the McCain-Feingold bill was a campaign finance reform bill, and it basically took the money out of the parties. The party, whether it was the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, usually their nominees were kind of, you know, they were not too far to the right or not too far to the left. They were just basically electable people. When the McCain-Feingold bill came to fruition, what it did is, because the money didn't go in the parties, it pushed the money to the far right, to far left. And so I think Congress has become much more polarized because of McCain-Feingold. And when it becomes polarized, it's very much more difficult to find solutions to problems.
So any tips on how Congress can get out of this?
It's not that you're going to do overnight, but eventually you have to change the campaign system. That you don't take money out of the parties. You make the party strong, and that way you lessen the influence to the right or to the left, so that you can find compromise, so you can find people that come together and make decisions. So what really has to happen now is the leaders will have to bring people to the table and try to get an agreement, a leverage. Otherwise, you know, what the Republicans have on the table is health care reform. Are they going to get a delay on the Affordable Care Act? I don't know. But the president at least has to put something on the table so that they begin to bargain. If you don't have anything on the table that says my way or the highway, nothing's going to get done. So the president needs to come forward and make some effort at an agreement.
Former U.S. House Speaker Denny Hastert giving his prescription for what it will take to end the federal government's partial shutdown. I'm Amanda Vinicky.